Today I'm going to talk about pursuit, the pursuit of the Lord. I call this message the art of pursuit. So going over this message, I want to just go over three keys, I would call them, to pursuing the Lord wholeheartedly. How many of us are in pursuit of the Lord right now? Like five people? Awesome. More. There we go. I find myself becoming more in love with the Lord, especially recently, taking on the title of a youth pastor. You know, it's more than just a title. It's a very privileged responsibility to care and shepherd for the young hearts of this house. And one thing I've come to the conclusion is that I've never graduated this idea of pursuit, because the more, and for those of you here in this room who have been with the Lord for a very long time, you realize that the more you grow, the more dependent you are in the Lord. Does that make sense? Like, just because I receive the Lord in a great measure does not mean I need him less. No, it's the opposite. We need him more the further and the deeper we go into his kingdom. Anything less is just fake. It is just pretend. You know, we're coming to church, you know, and we're wondering why we're stuck, why we're not getting anything, why we're still living off of last season's encounter. Because there is something within us that needs to respond, and that is pursuit. The never-ending pursuit. My epilogue, the beginning to start off, I want to say this. It is always about the pursuit. And the direction I want to go is primarily the relationship between two intimate lovers, us and the Lord. This is the main driving force behind this message. In Jeremiah 29:13, says this. The Lord says this, not just anybody. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. You see, this is why we have the Holy Spirit. The Lord, when he came and died and ascended, it wasn't just given to us wholeheartedly where we don't have to do anything. No, Jesus said, it is for your benefit that I go, because if I do not go, I cannot give you the helper. The helper will not come. But if I go, he will. You see, this is a really important ingredient. Last week at our youth meeting, I talked about this, the Holy Spirit, and it was such an amazing experience to just share. It's such a elementary thing to some of us, but man, when I go to a room of young people and I ask the question, how many of you guys know the Holy Spirit personally? And like three kids out of like 20 something raise their hand. I think, you know what I think to myself? I'm like, yes, this is my chance to glorify you, King, to glorify and to make you known. This is the joy that is set before Jesus at the cross, is that for those who don't know anything, there is joy and celebration in being like, let me teach you. Let me show you the way, the real way. And I don't know, it's just the heart that the Lord gave me for, you know, teaching this next generation. It gets me all pumped up when, even in any like anything where it's fundamental, any fundamentals in our walk with Christ, you know, like pursuit, you know, you don't know how to pursue the Lord. That's amazing. You are in the best place, you know. For those of you here in this room that, you know, if that applies to you, great. Glad you're here. You know, there's only one place you can be every Sunday afternoon, and I am glad you're here. So pursuit is this. It is the intimate exchange of affection between two lovers, right? This is the driving force behind this message. I would like to bring my fiance. You can stay seated. You can just chill there. Like, I want to use her as an example. I love to pursue this beautiful, beautiful woman because I understand that she is pursuing me always. And she is always pursuing me because she understands that deep down, I truly love her and I will do anything for you, right? It's not just, she's not just an interest in my life. She's not just a hobby, a side mission in my life. No, she is the desire of my life. That I am willing to forsake the comfort of my home, of my parents' financial blessing, forsake my financial future, because everything I gain is for us. It's not for me. It's not about me any longer. And there is joy in that. And then there, and in that cycle of pursuit, there is no stagnation. There is nothing stale or the same as usual. No, it grows and grows because love is such a powerful force behind every action that you cannot help but respond in a greater measure, right? I go get her coffee, you know, and she doesn't ask. She grabs my arm tight and holds me as a gesture of thanking me. And I just get so filled with love. I'm like, oh, I love this person so much. And it just pulls me to do something more, not out of a transaction, not because, oh, I have to, but because I get to pursue this person. And I feel comfort in knowing that she is always pursuing me. You see, what I've just explained couldn't be any more different than our walk with the Lord. You see, this is the similar, because the Lord is very smart and very key to the structures that he has placed in happy marriages, happy relationships, health and healthy relationships. He is very intentional with how he structures things. See, and your relationship, for all you young guys, you know, listening, you know, when relationship advice comes, you go from this to locking in, you know. All of you guys, yeah, I see you. It's always about the pursuit, you know, like it says in scripture, he who finds himself a wife finds himself a good thing. Can I get an amen to that? Can I get an amen to that? Man, this is so beautiful. Like, this is what helps us understand the Lord a lot better from just everyday things. And it helps us to become so grateful and so honored to be given these beautiful privileges of like, man, my mind is still. I am not like a psycho. I'm not a psychotic person in a breakdown. Like, I am at peace with my life, but I still desire more. You see, that's the pursuit right there. It's like, you know, things are good, but there's always something nagging on the back of your head, you know, like there has to be more, you know, growing up and discovering the Lord for the first time as a teenager, it came from a place of, man, if this is all that life has for me, what is the point? You know, and if I'm sitting at church every Sunday and I'm hearing people get breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough, and I'm still in the same place as that I was for years, what is the disconnect? What is the problem? You see, here's the thing. When you pursue the Lord, you are always successful in your pursuit. It always works. No matter how small the measure of pursuit you have for the Lord at any given moment, it works. Why? Because the Lord is always running after us. He is always running after you. And if there is any disconnect, if there is any lack of response, or if there is a dryness in my season, it's not on him, it's on me. Because in order for the Lord, for it to be on him, he would have to change. And the Lord cannot change Because if he did, he would have to go from better to worse or from worse to better. But he can't, because he is always good. He is always in magnificent pursuit of us. That is the constant that is in every single life. You ever feel like your life is so out of control, spiraling, nothing's making sense, everyone's saying this about you, nothing feels right? Well, you can rest assured, dear brothers and sisters, that the Lord's love in your life is like a constant stream. You see a river, try turning it around. It's not moving. It's not moving. That's how the Lord loves you. It is a constant, strong, ever-flowing stream of liquid love over your life. And all you gotta do is just dip that toe in there and sink and swim and just bask in his glory. But where pursuit dies is when complacency arrives. You see, this is the killer. This is the slow death that brings obliteration to every child of God, every Christian. Complacency. Complacency says this: I am content with very little. Complacency says comfort is king. Because if Jesus is king, your comfort is threatened. There is no question. You cannot pursue the Lord in faith, in awe, in wonder, and live comfortably. Yes, there is peace. Peace and comfort, kind of a different thing, right? Peace is the indwelling, the comfort, the love, the joy. It is all of these things. But comfort is just your exterior flesh, you know? You know, one thing in my family that we love is we like our comforts, right? Every evening we come home from prayer, from church, whatever, immediately, whoosh, throw on the jammies, throw on the blanket. We love our comfort. It's the best thing ever. That's like a triple olive trait, you know? We love our blankets. We love our pajamas. But it's not, you can't always rely on that to make you feel comfortable. You get what I'm saying? It's knowing that there is something else greater than your comfort, and that's Jesus. And to forsake your comfort is to gain everything in him. Because for everybody, it's not just a strip of olive tray. It's not just a me thing. It's an everybody thing. We love to be comfortable. We love it. Just chilling, fishing, you know, swimming, sleeping. Oh, don't get me started on sleeping. So complacency is a killer. It is the killer of growth. What's the solution? What's the solution? I will tell you the solution since you're so dying to know. It is hunger. Hunger is what kills complacency. This is what scripture, this is what Jesus tells us. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Pursuit, glorious, wholehearted pursuit, doesn't suggest for you to be hungry. It requires, it demands. Because pursuit without hunger, there is no cost. There is only stagnation. Your pursuit without desperate hunger is what gives you that feeling that I am all right with last year's encounter. It's good, I'm chilling, I'm riding this wave. But let me tell you this. I didn't get to know as much as I know about my fiance off of one encounter. It took multiple. The good, the bad, the ugly. How different can it be with the Lord? You cannot understand the depths and the measure of the love of God off of just one encounter. You see, this is where pursuit has to come. If you're really wondering why your life sucks, why everything feels so dry. Pursuit. Be hungry. Cultivate your hunger. What does it look like to cultivate hunger for the Lord? It's simple. Eat more and more. Like, I like to say, I regretfully say this as a past tense. When I used to work out, I remember my appetite would grow significantly because I'm doing the work and all of this stuff. Now that I've slowed down a little bit, my appetite goes down, right? But the moment it picks up, the more appetite comes and the hunger for protein, for carbs, for macros, for all of this stuff. Same thing applies. If you want to grow more in the Lord, you have to eat. Eat more of Him. Do not be content with last year's encounter. God is not interested in serving you a reheated dish. There is something fresh. There is something new. There is something bold right on the other side of your pursuit of the Lord. And it couldn't be easier to do so because His love is a constant stream. There is no possible way you could respond to the Lord and get silence. Test me in that. Prove me wrong. Go ahead. No, when you respond to what the Lord is doing, when we simplify our approach, He will always be faithful to respond. He will always be faithful to give you something new and fresh. So I guess you could say this message is for you, for those of you who have experienced maybe a little dry season in your life. If that's you, oh, boo-hoo. You'll get out of it. Trust me. You're good. You're in the right place. Not because I'm here. Not because of me. But because of the Lord who's speaking through whoever has this. You know, like, I'm not a big fan of speaking. I really am not. I love speaking to my kids, you know. Like I have kids, children, you know. No. I'm talking about, like, my kids over there. The ones who aren't even paying attention. Like, I love speaking to them. Because this is where my heart is at, you know? But this is different, you know? I have to train myself to talk to adults, you know? Isn't that funny? I'm so used to talking to kids, I have to, like, get used to that anyways. But it's so good when you find your place and you find joy in serving the Lord that anything you do for Him comes as a privilege, you know? Like, I had to run behind and throw on this graphic because, I don't know, stained glass, I used to hate it, but now I'm kind of liking it, you know? I can do whatever I want, too. I can put a picture of Jesus, you know, walking dogs in the back. No one's going to say anything. You know, I'm in charge. Hunger is what gives us the ability to seek the Lord, truly seek Him. You want to truly seek the Lord? Again, get hungry. You got to make your pursuit for the Lord desperate. Have you ever been desperate to eat? You're so hungry. Like, I remember growing up, I wasn't the pickiest eater, but I kind of was at the same time. I remember telling my mom, I'm hungry. She's like, okay, we have this, this, and this. I'm like, I don't want that. And she's like, but you're not hungry. Because if you are hungry, you will eat anything. You ever felt that? Like the stuff in your pantry that hasn't been touched in a while, that's been sitting in the back burner for like guests or whatever. When like the guests who come last minute arrive, like here you go, whatever is available. Like, have you ever been so hungry that when you open the pantry, that looks, oh my gosh. You see, that's how we have to perceive what the Lord has. That's how hungry we have to be. Not that what God has for us has been cast aside or whatever, but when you are truly hungry, anything that the Lord does, the slightest drop from heaven follows the response of, Lord, I thank you for this little tiny droplet of revelation that you have bestowed upon me. I am so grateful and I honor you and I give you praise. You see, this is where the second key is. This is the second key. It's response. So from the place of hunger and thirsting for righteousness comes response. But we have to simplify our approach to our Lord. We cannot be distracted by trying to impress him, grab his attention with, oh, look, Lord, look at all of these things that I did. Like it's all about works, you know? No, it's about understanding that every time I come to the Lord seeking wisdom and knowledge and comfort and breakthrough, I always come to the conclusion that all I need to know is Christ and Christ crucified. This is the simplicity. It's that simple. You have to be ready to respond in the quickness of knowing that, okay, I can go on and on and on and on and babble about all my problems, all my worries, but then spiritual maturity looks like already understanding, already getting there. Сразу, because, wow, sorry, this is English. I'm so sorry. Because it's, my Russian's coming out. Oh my goodness, that's never happened before. Oh, man. Respond. Respond to what the Lord is doing and simplify your approach. It's right there. Pursuit isn't always about running faster or chasing harder. Sometimes it's about rededicating your heart, recalibrating your direction, and responding to what God is already doing. So you can summarize the art of pursuit as responding, because this is worship right here. This is worship. We respond. That is the, I would call, the definition of what I believe worship in its core is, because it's not about you. It's all about him. If it was about you, worship was about you, it wouldn't be about responding. It would be about giving, sacrificing. No, it's about understanding truly what the Lord is already doing in your life. You see, for every current response you have to what the Lord is doing in your life, this is a response for a previous action. So what the Lord has done in your past, you are giving him thanks right now because he has already done it. This is the solution right here, is response. So when we worship, when we pray, when we fast, we're to glorify him. We're seeking wisdom, knowledge, comfort. But the realization always comes down to, this is all I know, Christ and Christ crucified. But here's the thing about when we respond to the Lord, it has to come with obedience. This is a requirement. Again, this is not a suggestion. Obedience is the requirement when we respond. Because if I'm responding to the Lord and I am failing to be obedient, all I'm doing is listening but not acting. I'm talking but I'm not doing, right? You ever been trying to make something happen with friends and it never gets past the group chat phase, you know? You have to respond to what everyone's doing, everyone's thinking, what everyone's feeling, act, do something. Don't just sit there in the talking stages of, oh yeah, this sounds like a good idea, but no, nothing's happening, so I'll just leave it to this person to take care of it. But then that person's also thinking the same thing, like, oh, I'll wait for that person to do it, and then nothing happens. Do something. If you're hearing something from the Lord, it is up to you to respond. He's not gonna make you do anything. All he does is sit and wait, because like I've explained, he is constantly pursuing. It is a constant stream. It is not slowing down. It is only ramping up as our revelation and understanding of Jesus becomes wider and bigger and more profound and more deep. So response demands obedience. Let me talk about a story that we're all familiar with, Abraham and Isaac, right? The test that God has given Abraham. I believe the reason why is because why the Lord tested Abraham is because in every single person, there exists a throne room inside of every living, breathing human being. There exists a throne, a shrine where God desires to reside in unchallenged, right? And for Abraham, that position was at risk, right? And the loss of Abraham to the Lord was too great. So there had to be a testing, right? So we all know what happened. He came with the intent pursuit to do what the Lord asked him to do. Not in a way of like, okay, I'm just going to hover the knife over my son and, you know, Lord, you can stop me whenever, I'm waiting, you know. No, he came with the intent to sacrifice. He was not going to slow down his blade. And he passed. But let me tell you this. The testing of God is not measured in whether you pass or whether you fail. No. When God tests, it is only to measure the contents of your heart. Because you can't fail the Lord. You can't. He is aware consciously of every decision you make. And he is so proud of you because he knows you're trying. He knows you're doing your best. But every test is to measure your heart, where it stands, where God resides in truly. And it's for you. It's not for anyone else. It's not really for him. He knows already, but he wants you to know for sure, to find out what is truly at the center of your heart. Is it the pursuit of glorifying Jesus, or is it the pursuit of self? Self-indulgence, right? Self-whatever. So we must put aside everything that we can possibly think of. Our ideas of appealing, impressing the Lord. Next key is persistence. And to start off with this, I want us to go to Luke chapter 11, verse 9. So in our attempt to wholeheartedly pursue the Lord, in a moment comes these three things, right? Hunger, response, and persistence. Persistence is the continuation after the Lord does something. So we don't sit complacent and live off of whatever the Lord has done for us in the past and try to stretch it out and make it something when it's already been done and he wants to deposit something new. Persistence helps us access the continuation between glory to glory. So Luke chapter 11, verse 9 through 10. So I say to you, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. This is persistence. Knocking, asking, pursuit. Understanding that there is only one way to glorify God, to get to know him and to be known by him. It is the persistent and constant action of looking up and realizing that there is no other way. And I don't want any other way because I've seen it and I've tasted it, but I want more. And I will continue to seek the more of you, Lord, until my breath breathes its last. Persistence, it doesn't demand perfection. Just do it every day. Try your best. I wanna talk about Peter. Peter the Rock, right? We all know him. We all love him. I love this guy. Honestly, I might name my one of if I have a son, I might name him Peter. You know, it's kind of cool because my grandpa's name is Peter. You know, it's kind of has like a double meaning, which is cool. But I love his story because he screwed up a lot. And we all know it. And I honestly feel like Peter is probably one of the most relatable characters in the Bible to us. He's just a normal guy, just a fisherman. He's not a smart, wise guy, you know, which is why the Lord worked so powerfully over him. Because in the book of Acts, when all the apostles were sent, right, because that's what being an apostle means sent one. Paul, the smart guy, was sent to the Gentiles, right? The people who don't know anything. But Peter was with all the Jews, all the wise people. And he was not smart himself. So that's how you know God was really speaking through him, because he was not a smart guy, okay? He's just a fisher guy, you know? He's just fishing butt naked, you know? They did that. Fun fact, actually. If you read in scripture, when Peter saw Jesus when he ascended at the shore, right? He's like, there's this random guy and being like, oh, cast your net on the other side. And like, okay, they get a bunch of fish. And Peter's like, you know, he puts on his tunic. He puts on his clothes, meaning he was not naked. This is a fun fact. It's one of the things I love about, slight plug, we're doing a Bible crunch. You know, our youth is doing a Bible crunch. And I love rereading things and just like, you ever like read the same thing over and over and over again? And you read it the one more time and you're like, wait, that wasn't there. What happened? You know, it's little details like Peter being naked fishing, you know. Don't really want to think about that, but it's there. I don't know why it was written there, but cool, thanks. But here's the thing about Peter. We know him as a guy who messed up a lot, right? He made mistakes. Everybody dogs on this guy because, oh, he betrayed Jesus. He slashed the guy's ear off, and Jesus was like, really, dude? What else? He was like, Jesus, please don't go to the cross. And Jesus literally rebukes him to his face. Get away from me, Satan. Imagine that happening. Ooh. People, a lot of us make fun of this guy, dog on him. But oftentimes, I feel like a lot of us forget this, that he was the first to jump out of the boat. When John and Peter raced to the tomb where Jesus was laid, right? It was a race, because if it wasn't, John wouldn't have been like, oh, but I beat him to it, but then he ran again, you know? It was a race, but Peter was the first one to run inside the tomb. Oh, it makes me teary because, man, he messed up so much. He was persistent. Imagine what was going on in his head when he hears, when Jesus was with him, telling him about his death and his ascension. And he's like, I have to know. And I don't care. He did not care about the wrongs he has done, how many times he screwed up. He's like, I have to go see if this is the real deal. And he doesn't care. He runs inside. Oh, that's persistence. Is not looking back at your mistakes, whatever you did wrong, whatever wrongdoing, because God's not looking at that. But Peter, oh, he stayed with Jesus even when things were rough, right? When Jesus offended the masses, you know, he threw out some really cultish words, you know, like eat my flesh, drink my blood. And people were like, this is really hard to understand. I'm going to go that way, you know. But then he said to his disciples, he was like, are you going to leave me now? And then Peter says this. This is what Peter says. John 6:68. But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. He doesn't know any better. This is all he knows. You see, and there is bliss in the ignorance of what anything else the Lord, the world has for us. There is bliss in not even like being taught that stuff, not even knowing about that stuff. It's good to know. It's good to know these things, right? The word calls us to be as wise as serpents and innocent as doves, right? But here's the thing about persistence. It really matters, especially when things get rough. Because we all experience dry seasons. This isn't something that skips a few of us or many of us. We all go through it. Because how would we know what is good if, you know, if a wet season, you know, a good season versus a dry season? How would we tell the difference? We got to have both. You know, I remember as a kid asking my dad about, you know, you ask like simple questions, but then there are like these really deep, truthful meanings. I was like, saw this jumping spider and I got really freaked out about it until I was like 8 years old. And I asked my dad, I was like, well, why are things scary? Why do things have to be scary? And he was based in what I was told is that how would you know what is not scary if, you know, how would you know if it's scary if you didn't know what was not scary? You know, you have to understand the two to understand which one's good and which one's bad, you know, simple kid elementary stuff. But here's the thing about persistence. You see, it is easy to persist and pursue when things are good, right? When we are in peril, right? When things are bad, we know which way is up, right? When things get really shaky, when things get really rocky, we're at such a low point of our lives that the only way is up. And we get there, right? But when we get there, things get easy, right? And we fall back. We take a back seat in pursuit. We kind of think to ourselves, okay, everything's good. I'm just going to ride this wave, you know? And then like I talked about earlier, riding last year's encounter, last season's encounter, right? This could either ultimately be the death of you or out of a response to what the Lord has done, an immediate quick response, right? The quickness, like Peter, right? He was quick to decide to follow Jesus. The decisiveness. He said, come follow me. He's like, all right, bet. I'm going. Nothing else better to do. You know, he struggles financially. He's like, I got nothing else better to do. And he was decisive, just like running into the tomb. He did not care. But what does it look like for you to pursue the Lord when everything's good? When everything's so fine and amazing, right? A lot of modern Christians, right? Not saying necessarily to you guys, but we don't know what it's like because when things are good, we wait until things are bad to then come back up again. But the constant pursuit, even when we're up there, that is what glorifies God even more. Because I don't need anything. I don't need healing. I don't need money. I don't need possessions. I don't need people running after me and saying nice things to me. All I need is you. And the Lord takes us there, but we take it for granted when we're up there and we just take. So in pursuit, the three keys that I have explained, hunger, response, and persistence, these all need to coexist simultaneously as we're worshiping the Lord, as we're working, as we're ministering, we're at our jobs, we're talking to friends in school, right? There has to always be an innate desire to know the Lord more. To know and be known by Jesus. This is what truly matters. This is the pinnacle of pursuit. And we will never arrive to this place. You will never arrive to a place where I have pursued the Lord and all I must do is just sit back and wait till I die. That is the slow death. That is, we're going back to complacency there. What does it look like to pursue the Lord wholeheartedly? You see, that measure is different for everybody because it doesn't always look like chasing, running blindly or maybe not blindly, but recalibrating and reassessing. You know, it looks like, you know what, today I'm going to just put this down and just focus on Jesus. I'm going to read my Bible. Bible crunch. Go ahead and catch up. We're in Acts 27. This is what truly matters. Response, hunger, response, and persistence. All right, let's all stand. The quickness right there. Didn't you have to ask? Bless you. We'll be blessed. There is joy in the pursuit. It is not always about laying down everything, going on your knees and laying things out brick by brick, but about realizing and understanding the constant stream of pursuit that is coming after us. And that is the Lord. We are only able to pursue Jesus and only because he is always in radical pursuit of us. This is the purest revelation we can carry in our everyday lives. That before I even have the chance to pursue Jesus, he has always been pursuing me. Always. Every moment, every day, every hour. Even in the dry seasons, when you feel like God is so far away, I want to tell you that the Lord couldn't be any closer. He couldn't be any closer to you in the dry seasons of your life. When you feel like nothing is making sense, nothing is going right, he is right there. Holy Spirit, I pray that you teach us what it means to hunger and to thirst for your righteousness. And Lord, I pray that you teach us how to respond to your glory. When the glorious King comes into the room, how we respond matters, because this is the measure of which we receive from the Lord. Response. Lord, teach us to be persistent. Oh, even when things don't make sense, even when I don't feel it, when I don't see it, Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. If you're in this room and you're wanting to pursue the Lord more than you did before, if you are sick and tired of writing off of last season's encounter, here's what I want us to do. I want you to just raise your hand and I want to do something. If there's anyone in this room who is seeking to glorify God in a greater measure, here's what I want to do. my front row, you guys are my prayer team. Go find someone with their hand raised and lay hands on them. Thank you, Jesus. Keep your arm raised so they can see you. Jesus, you don't look at what we do, but who we are. As your children, as your sons and your daughters. I want you to understand that there is nothing you have to do. All you have to do is to just be. This is what kills any form of religion, any religious spirit that builds itself, that tries to attach itself to our hearts. Oh, Jesus. You are so good, Jesus. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for the understanding that you have given us, for the love that you share, for this is the love that I carry. It is not my own, but it is yours, King. It is yours, my King. I am but an extension of the love that you have provided in my life. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, precious Son of God. You are the treasure. Not the things that you do, not the gifts that you bring, but to pursue you wholeheartedly is to look at your face and see you as the treasure, to see you as the reward. You are the prize. You are the portion. You are the everything. Without you, I have nothing. Without you, I am nothing. Without you, I am just filled with hopes and dreams that will never come to fruition, because you are the hope and you are the dream. This is how much you love us, Father, that you have given us your one and only Son, that through him the world might be saved. We are only successful in pursuing the Lord because he has always been pursuing us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that through believing in him, through him, we shall not perish, but have eternal life. To pursue is to love him. And to truly love the Lord is to pursue him. Just know that there is a stream waiting for you to jump into. That is all we must do. Hunger, respond, and persist. But I'm telling you right now, in this moment, the key ingredient is response. So when you leave this building, when you leave this moment, please respond to the Lord. Simplify your approach. Put aside all your efforts to impress, to appeal, everything. Throw it away. I want Jesus more than anything. Holy Spirit, I pray that you sear this message deep into every single heart in this place and online, that you show them the depths and the wonder and the awe of pursuit. That this is the key ingredient to pursue you, to pursue each other, and to pursue your leadership. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Thank you all for coming. Have a blessed week. The weather is aight, but make the best of it. Kids camp registration starts next week, so get your wallets ready. Moms and dads, get ready to throw your money at us. Love that. Have a good week. Love you.